Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports World Report. As usual, I'm your host, Denton Ramsey. This is episode 19 of the show, and today is Thursday, April 19th, 2012. Happy Dia de Loso, and thank you very much for joining us. You can follow along with show notes and more on the official blog site at sportsworldreport.wordpress.com, and feel free to email in any questions, comments, or story ideas to sportsworldreport@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 254-307-SWRE. Again, that's 254-307-7973. Also, please subscribe on iTunes, tell your friends about the show, and take a brief moment to write a review on the Sports World Report iTunes page. In addition, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at SP World Report, and you can also follow my personal Twitter account at Denton Ramsey. Jumping right in, we have a whole lot to discuss when it comes to Baylor and Houston sports, especially on this day, the 78th annual Dia de Loso here at Baylor. For those unaware, I'm just going to let you guys know this is an annual event that happens every year at Baylor. It's called Dia de Loso, which is the Day of the Bear. I'll go ahead and read this story. There will be a link to all stories that we discuss in the show notes at sportsworldreport.wordpress.com. This first story comes from baylor.edu. It's entitled Baylor Breaks for 78th Annual Dia de Loso, April 19th on Fountain Mall. Baylor University students, faculty, and staff will take a one-day break from the spring semester to enjoy Dia de Loso, or Day of the Bear, during a full day of activities from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Fountain Mall in the heart of Baylor's campus. Dia de Loso events also are open to the community. The full schedule is available at www.baylor.edu/Dia de Loso. The theme for the day, A Reason to Celebrate, embodies the legacy of the 78-year tradition. Again, that's going on all day today. That's why we postponed yesterday's Sports World Report podcast, was to bring you a special edition today on April 19th, 2012 for Dia de Loso. Also, it's going to be a little bit longer show today. We're going to play quite a few video clips, but hope you can bear with us as we go through this. Also, to let you guys know, we're going through a move right now, going to be moving studios and offices, but just bear with us over this next month as we make a few changes, but we'll still be coming to you every week. All right, this first sports story that I want to discuss comes from BaylorBears.com. It's entitled Baseball Breaks School Record with 21st Straight Win. Bears knock off Texas A&M Corpus Christi 11-1 in 7 innings. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and play this video clip from BaylorBears.com.
Two pitch. It is chopped back up the middle. Ranging to his right as Lankford can't get to it. 1-2. Fastball. Swung on a miss. First pitch to Lee is high and it gets past Goodwin all the way to the backstop and there's a run.
You can have ups and downs throughout the season, and I think right now he's just going through a little bit of a lull, but he'll be fine.
And the 3-1 pitch with the runner going is hit in the air to left field. Ranging over to his left is Dan Evan. He's there. He'll make the catch and retire the side. Here's your 1-1 pitch. Natty hitting. Go figure. Number 20. Here's your 1-0. And that hit him. And Lankford goes down to first base. The 3-1 pitch with the runners in motion. Inside ball four. And it's high ball four. An RBI walk for Cal Toohey. And the 1-2 pitch. Inside and it gets off. It goes off with the glove of the catcher all the way to the backstop. Doris is ready in the payoff. And it's hit in the air to left field. A high fly ball. Lee starts in on it towards the line. He's there. He'll make the catch. Tagging is Muncy. He's on his way to the plate. He'll score without a throw. 2-1 is belted in the gap. In right center field, it's a base hit. Home to score is Cal Toohey on the RBI double by Logan Fink. And it's 4-1 Baylor. And the 0-2. Chopped on the ground. Back up the middle. It's in the center field. It's an RBI single for Steve Dalporto. Here's the 2-1. It is hit in the air and deep to center. Going back is Logan Bick, still going back. He's at the wall, and he'll reach up and make the grab.
First pitch to him is fronted right back to Koontz. He'll pick it up, throw to first base in time. A 3-1, hit in the air towards center field, probably deep enough. Eric Weiss comes running in, makes the catch, the tag at third by Toth. Here comes the throw from the outfield. It is not in time. 2-1 offer. That's hit through the sixth, Tola to the left field. Back-to-back singles, half 2-0 with one out for the Bears here in the fourth. And a 8-1 lead for the Bears. First pitch hacking is Montgomery hits a ground ball to the shortstop Del Porto. All to Lightford. It's a 6-4-3 double play.
All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and stop that video clip right there. But it was another blowout for the Bears. They ended up cruising to an 11-1 victory in 7 innings. I'll go ahead and read this first couple paragraphs from BaylorBears.com. Baylor broke a school record by recording its 21st straight win in an 11-1 run rule victory over Texas A&M Corpus Christi on Wednesday afternoon at Baylor Ballpark. The Bears' 21-game winning streak also tied the longest by a Big 12 team since the conference began play in 1997. Baylor, 32-7, pounded out 10 hits on its way to its fourth consecutive game with a double-digit run scored. And Brad Koontz allowed only one hit in 5 innings on the mound to lead the Bears past the Islanders, who are 15-22. Moving on to another baseball story, this is entitled Lutie and Howard Earn Big 12 Weekly Awards. Fifth straight week, a Baylor player has won a Big 12 Weekly Award. Baylor senior catcher Josh Lutie was named Phillips 66 Big 12 Conference Player of the Week, and freshman Michael Howard was selected as Big 12 Co-Newcomer of the Week, the conference announced Monday. This marks the fifth straight week a Baylor player has earned a Big 12 Weekly honor. Moving on, this next story comes from BaylorBears.com as well. It's entitled Number 25, Softball Hooks Horns in 5-4 Victory. Megan Turk's walk-off double in the bottom of the eighth gave Baylor a 5-4 win over Number 5, Texas. And at this time, I'm going to at least play the video of this clip from BaylorBears.com.
Payoff on the way to Washington. It's lined into right field for a hit. Here's another 3-2 pitch home run. Nadia Taylor, and it's 2-0 Texas. No doubt about that one. She hit that one off the over the lower light post, and it hit a car's roof as it was driving towards University Park Parks Drive over the left field wall. 2-0 Texas with the lead on a Nadia Taylor 2-run home run. Here's a 1-0, grounded sharply down the third baseline in the left field. That's a hit. Holly will hold on to first base as the left fielder, Tony Schmidt, got to it quickly. And she delivers a 2-out single.
All right, guys, once again, I'm going to stop it right there. But after falling down 3-0, the Lady Bears battled back to win 5-4. I'm going to go ahead and read the first couple paragraphs from this story. Megan Turk's walk-off double in the bottom of the eighth captured 3 unanswered runs in the final 2 innings as number 25 Baylor, 27-14 overall, 4-8 in conference, came from behind for the 5-4 upset of number 5 Texas, 35-6 overall, 9-4 in the Big 12, Wednesday night at Getterman Stadium. The crowd of 1,408 was the largest of the season and ninth all-time in Getterman Stadium history. Quote, "What a night and what a complete team effort this was," head coach Glenn Moore said. "We needed a win like this so badly. We have been working hard and not seeing the fruits of our labor, but tonight was our night, and hopefully this will be a springboard to the rest of our season." This next story also comes from BaylorBears.com. It's about the men's basketball team. It's entitled, "Gathers Completes Baylor's Top 5 Recruiting Class." Riverside standout, a 2-time Gatorade Louisiana High School Player of the Year. Two-time Gatorade Louisiana High School Player of the Year, Ricardo Gathers, has signed a national letter of intent for 2012-13, Baylor head coach Scott Drew announced Monday. Gathers completes Baylor's four-man signing class, which consists of 3 ESPN 100 players, and is ranked number 5 nationally by ESPNU, number 5 by Scout.com, and number 6 by Rivals.com. I'm going to go ahead and also read this quote from Coach Drew on Ricardo. "Very few high school players enter college physically ready to compete at the highest level," head coach Scott Drew said. "But Ricardo is one of those exceptions. He has a grown man strength and is a tremendously gifted athlete. He's a remarkable young man that will keep Baylor among the nation's elite basketball programs. We're excited to see Ricardo Gathers in the green and gold, and no Baylor Nation will love cheering for him next season." This next story is about women's basketball. It's entitled Women's Hoops Honored with Downtown Parade Monday. Fans lined Waco's Austin's Avenue to pay tribute to Lady Bears. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and play this video clip from BaylorBears.com.
As follows. It says, I, Jim Bush, by the virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the city of Waco, Texas, do hereby proclaim April 16, 2012 as Baylor Lady Bears National Championship Day.
I hope y'all ready for next week.
All right, also just to read the first couple paragraphs from this story. Thousands of Waco and McLennan County citizens lined Waco's Austin Avenue on Monday to pay tribute to the Baylor Lady Bears, 2012 NCAA Women's Basketball National Champions. Each player rode in a Corvette convertible along the city street and threw candy to fans. In addition, coaches and support staff were honored along the parade. The parade concluded at Heritage Square, where each individual was escorted from their car and presented yellow rose by a tuxedo-clad Larry Groth, Waco's city manager. This next story also comes from BaylorBears.com. It's about the football team. It's entitled Florence Among Nine Honored by NFF Dallas. BU quarterback selected for athletic, academic, and leadership excellence. Baylor quarterback Nick Florence was among nine area football players named to the 2012 Collegiate Gridiron Club of Dallas Scholar Athletes list. The National Football Foundation, NFF, Gridiron Club of Dallas announced Thursday. The student athletes will be recognized at the club's annual banquet to be held April 16th at the Marriott Quorum in Addison, Texas. Florence, a four-time selection to the Big 12 Commissioner's Honor List and two-time member of the Dean's List, carries a 3.79 grade point average, majoring in economics. The Garland, Texas product spent the 2010 and 2011 seasons as Heisman Trophy winner Robert Griffin III's backup, appearing in a total of 8 games and posting 206 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. This next story is also about the Baylor football team. It's entitled Football and Spring Ball with 75-Minute Scrimmage. Transfer running back Lace Seastruck tallied 138 yards on the ground. Go ahead, play this video clip right now from BaylorBears.com.
Come back, you know, I ain't played in 2 years, so I'm just happy to get out here running through the holes, running through blocks, running, shedding tackles, you know, just making people miss. I think that's what I'm starting to do a little bit better.
I think we both did a really good job. You know, I think we're still going to battle it out. I'm not saying I'm better. I'm not saying he's better. I think our job this spring was to come out and compete and make each other better, and I think we've done that.
We're very confident. Like I said, we know exactly what we need to do. And Coach Bennett tells us every day, his saying that he says is knowledge is power. I mean, when you know what you're doing, you just feel like you're untouchable, like you can't be stopped, like, I mean, nobody can tell you anything. So that's how high our confidence is right now.
They jumped off sides. It's kind of like a free play for us. And Nick always tell me, he said, you know, when we get a free play, go deep every time. So he ended up throwing it up, and I just ended up coming down with it, just trying to make a good play for the quarterback.
All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and stop that video right there and read the first couple paragraphs again from this story. Showing a balanced attack that featured the exact same number of passes and runs, 56, the Baylor offense racked up more than 300 yards rushing and passing on Saturday in a 75-minute controlled scrimmage that attracted an estimated crowd of 2,750 at the Hires Complex practice field. Quarterback Nick Florence, a rising senior, completed 14 of 18 passes for 183 yards and 3 touchdowns with the number one offense, while Bryce Petty split time with the top two offenses and was 18 of 27 for 146 yards and 1 touchdown. This next story is also about Baylor football. It's entitled Barry Sanders to join RG3 on cover of NCAA Football 13. Game hits retail shelves on July 10th. Today, EA Sports announced former Heisman Trophy winner Barry Sanders, running back for Oklahoma State University, has been selected by fans to join the 2011 Heisman Trophy winner Robert Griffin III, quarterback at Baylor University, on the cover of NCAA Football 13, which will hit retail shelves on July 10th. Sanders was selected by fans as part of the NCAA Football 13 My Heisman Cover Vote Contest, which put the power into the hands of the fans to decide which college football legend would join Robert Griffin III on the cover of this year's game. Speaking of Robert Griffin III, these next few stories are going to be RG3 updates. This first one comes from AOL.SportingNews.com. It's entitled Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III Fit Franchise Mold to Perfection. There are plenty of reasons Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III are viewed as surefire future NFL star quarterbacks, and why the Indianapolis Colts and Washington Redskins will spend the top two picks on them when the 2012 NFL Draft opens April 26. When you put all their best assets in a blender, these elite football prospects come out with the skill sets that would make any general manager have a craving. Luck, the expected first overall pick, and Griffin III come into the league with their own special flavors, but when breaking down what they do well, it comes down to four basic, familiar ingredients that every modern elite quarterback possesses. I'm going to go ahead and go through these real quick, and if you want to read more about this, definitely click the link in the show notes. But we're talking about ability to win, accuracy, intelligence, and athleticism, something that both quarterbacks absolutely possess. This next story comes out of CBSSports.com. It's entitled D'Angelo Hall Says Robert Griffin III Could Be, Quote, the Prince of D.C. by Will Brinson, senior NFL blogger. Just about everyone, save Jim Irsay, who's just playing games, and Donovan McNabb, who's just bitter, is already sold on Robert Griffin III going to the Redskins. This includes D'Angelo Hall, who's so amped about the possibility of RG3 in D.C. that he's calling into local radio shows, in this case, the excellent local CBS show on 106.7 The Fan with LeVar Arrington and Chad Dukes, to give his opinion on how Griffin III will do. And Hall thinks that RG3 could become, quote, the Prince of D.C. Quote, I think he can impact this team like Cam Newton did, Hall said, via Dan Strisberg of the Washington Post. Quote, obviously with a better defense, a little more weapons around him than Cam had, but man, I think the kid's electric. I think he's electric. A lot of people liken him to Michael Vick because he's a black guy and he's fast, but I just think his mentality, compared to what Mike's was when he came in the league, it's 360, just totally different. This kid wants to be the best, wants to compete. Alright guys, if you want to read more on any of these stories, again, just click the stories in the show notes at sportsworldreport.wordpress.com. This last RG3 update comes from washingtonpost.com. It's entitled Robert Griffin III's Latest Commercial. Robert Griffin III tweeted out his new commercial with instructions to, quote, retweet to the masses. If it's okay with RG3, we'll blog it to the masses instead. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and play this video clip from washingtonpost.com.
They say expectations are heavy. The spotlight, they say it weighs a ton. And that pressure weighs even more. They say the wave of it all can break you. It's heavy, crazy heavy. They say I have no idea what something that heavy can do. I say they have no idea what light can do.
the Adidas Adi Zero Sonic, only at Dick's Sporting Goods.
All right, and that's the final RG3 update. We'll give you guys more of an update, especially next week once the draft is about to take place. But just again to commend this guy, I love Robert Griffin III. It was an honor to be able to take a class with Robert Griffin III at Baylor, and I'm just going to be, again, reiterate what everyone else has said out there, and this guy's a phenomenal person. He's great on the field, and he's even a better person off the field. This next story comes from HoustonTexans.com. It's entitled Texans 2012 Schedule Features 5 National TV Matchups. The defending AFC South champion Houston Texans will play 5 nationally televised games, including the first Thanksgiving game in franchise history in the 2012 season, the NFL announced today. The Texans play on ESPN's Monday Night Football at the New York Jets on September 8th and at New England on December 10th, and will play on NBC's Sunday Night Football at home against Green Bay on October 14th and at Chicago on November 11th. Houston will play at Detroit on Thanksgiving at 11:30 a.m. Central Time. At this time, this next link comes also from HoustonTexans.com. It's a video link about Kubiak talking about the Texans' 2012 schedule, and at this time, I'm going to go ahead and play this video.
Andre Johnson, welcome to the playoffs!
It's always an exciting day when the schedule comes out. Head coach Gary Kubiak, you get to know who you're going to play, and first things first, you always want to talk about that opening week opponent, the Miami Dolphins. You do it at home. It's always nice to start at home, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is, 3 years in a row that we've opened at home. But, you know, one thing about the schedule, you know who you're going to play. You just kind of don't know, you know, how it's going to fit. One of the things I look at initially when we get it, we'll be playing a lot of heat early in the season, you know, because of what we work in training camp. And we'll have one really warm game in Jacksonville, and then we've definitely got opportunities for some cold ones late in the season, playing at night in New England and Chicago and places like that. So, but anyway, it's a tough schedule. You know, we get off to a good start with Miami. We've always had some great games with them. We play 2 division opponents in the first 4 weeks. We play at multiple different times throughout the course of the season, which is a new test for our organization, but that's a good test. I mean, you're getting some, you know, very primetime football games and those type of things, and the players have earned that, so it's a good thing.
Yeah, last year with only 3 exceptions, it was the chalk. You mm-hmm. played at noon just about every single week. You're all over the place. 5 primetime games if you count the Thanksgiving Day game, 2 on Sunday night, 2 on Monday night. How exciting is it? The marquee matchups, too.
Yeah, really. Go to, you know, 2 Monday night games at the Jets and at New England. I mean, that's those are 2 tough places to play against 2 great football teams. You know, we'll have some tough trips from a standpoint of turnaround, getting back home really, really early on Monday morning, those type of things for the coaches. But those are the challenges you get when you're playing good football. And, you know, we're coming off a real good year last year. So, you know, we'll have to be a heck of a football team, but we plan on being one.
How do you like where the bye sits? Late October, ideal, better, worse?
I always like it about midway, you know, so what's it fall after 7 weeks this year? So I think that's good. You never really know when your team needs a break. Maybe you've got a few injuries and those type of things. But I think the halfway mark is, you know, a pretty good place to have it. So it looks pretty good.
And you get a pretty rugged Detroit team on Thanksgiving morning. Talk about that matchup and talk about what the benefits are getting another weekend off sort of in between. It's almost like a mini bye, right?
Yeah, it makes it tough. I think we play Jacksonville the week before we go to mm-hmm. Detroit, so we get a home game, which our turnaround as a staff will be a little quicker or a little easier, I should say. It's always tough to play a game that quick, but the reward after a game that quick is to give some people a break. You got more time to heal. So it is an extra, other than your bye week, it's another break throughout the course of the season to kind of regroup your football team for the long haul, you know. So that'll be exciting, you know. Thanksgiving Day, there's 3 games now in the league, and we get the early one, and then we'll come home and have some good food like everybody else.
Playing in the Mile High City for you, always going to be special. You spent 2 decades there as a professional. It's even more special for fans around the NFL because Peyton Manning is going to be in costume. Week 3 of the season, what's that going to be like?
Going to be in costume? yeah, we can't get away from him. But, I think it's great that he's be ready to go again in the league. And obviously that's a big challenge for us. They've got a good football team, and now they, you know, find a way to get him. So that's tremendous. You know, it's a tough place to play. It's early in the season. But fortunately our football team has seen him many times. We know what we're going to face. We know the challenge that we'll face. And doing it in Denver makes it even tougher, but that's part of the business.
And then very interestingly, you wrap up the season, two of the last three games, including the finale, at Indianapolis. You got Indianapolis here in week 16, 15, I believe.
Yeah, that was interesting. Like I said, we start the season off with two out of our first four division opponents, then we end with two out of our last three big division games. Those games usually carry the weight of almost a game and a half, you know, when you look at the standings and those type of things. So, you know, we got to have ourselves in position and at that point, and there should be some great games down the wire there. We always have great games with the Colts.
Well, we can't wait. It's just one more step in the process as we get closer and closer to week one. Coach Kubiak, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Once again, that's a video clip from Texans.com. This next story, unfortunately, we're moving from a lot of positive news with Baylor, who's been on top of the world from men's basketball to women's basketball to baseball to softball to football to RG3 to even the Texans, who had a phenomenal season last year. Now we're moving to some teams. Unfortunately, they're going through some rebuilding processes in Houston when we're talking about the Astros and, unfortunately, the Rockets in that category as well. Houston Astros, this first one comes from Astros.com. It's entitled, Astros Unable to Keep Nats Down Late in Defeat. Harold Strong over 6 2/3 and no decision. Schaefer goes 2-for-4 with RBI by Brian McTaggart. All right, there are any number of moments in the when the Astros could have singled out Wednesday's game that proved to be their downfall, whether it was Lucas Harrell giving up a two-out hit in the seventh, Reiner Cruz's bases-loaded walk in the eighth, or not stringing any hits together. Unfortunately for the Astros, their inability to do the little things, make the extra play, get the extra hit, has become a nuisance, if not a recurring theme early in the season. The Nationals made the key plays when the Astros couldn't, pushing across a pair of runs in the eighth inning to send Houston to yet another one-run loss, 3-2 at Nationals Park. The Astros have lost a season-high four games in a row. Quote, I keep saying it, we're putting ourselves in a position to win these games, Astros manager Brad Mills said. These one-run games are showing these guys how close they are. Still, the Astros have lost 7 of 8 games following a 3-1 start that had them full of optimism. Houston has lost 4 games by 1 run, all of which have come on a 7-game road trip, which comes to an end Thursday in Washington. Quote, it's tough, Astros catcher Jason Castro said. Those are the ones we want to win. We need to win those. The ball isn't falling our way. We've had a couple of bad breaks, and we just need to keep playing. We're giving a great effort all the way around. You can't really ask anything more of these guys, and we're happy with that. This next story comes from NBA.com. Unfortunately, the Rockets have not been playing too well. The story is entitled, Rockets Drop 5th Straight. Dirk Nowitzki's 35 points doom Rockets as Dallas rallies for 117-110 victory by Jason Friedman. The Rockets finally found a way to overcome their third quarter woes. What they had no answer for, however, was an altogether different and ultimately far more vexing puzzle that left them on the short end of the scoreboard once again. Dirk Nowitzki scored 21 of his game-high 35 points in the final period as Dallas overcame a second-half deficit to defeat Houston 117-110. His heroics were part of a 39-point fourth quarter for the Mavericks, who sent the reeling Rockets to their fifth consecutive loss, further dampening the team's playoff hopes, which are now officially on life support. I'm going to go ahead and play this video from NBA.com.
It is the Battle of Texas, and just a game and a half separates Houston and Dallas in the standings. Rick Carlisle and Kevin McHale, the two head coaches, used to play together on the Boston Celtics. Here, going head-to-head as the Rockets try and put an end to their four-game losing streak. Here, Courtney Lee doing what he does, creating offense on the defensive end. Dragic gets the driving layup, Rockets up by 6. On the other end, Vince Carter still getting to the tin. 27-25, Mavs within 2. Three-point battles erupted in the second quarter. Jason Terry here passing Chauncey Billups, moves up to 4th all-time in the NBA three-point field goal list. Now Dragic to Chase Buttinger. He can throw it down and also shoot from the outside. Here's Courtney Lee, 3 of 5 from downtown in the first half. He had 11 points in the first two quarters. Rodrigue Bubois returning to the lineup, and here doing their distributing. And Jason Kidd says, hey, I'll let somebody else get the assist for once. Kidd, 3 of 4 from downtown in the first half. Third quarter, here comes Dirk Nowitzki getting a friendly roll at home. Dirk gets the free throw as well. That brings it to a one-point game. Luis Scola, the finger roll, two of his 18. Rockets up 62-60. More of Scola, this time on the defensive end. Scola hustles to the rock and then finds Goran Dragic, who goes lefty style for two of his 20 points, also had 10 assists. Houston was up 75-67. Fourth quarter, here comes Dallas. Dirk Nowitzki from downtown. 90-85. Rockets only up by 5. Now Jason Terry from the land of 3. He came off the bench to drop in 19 on 6 of 11 shooting. Oh, the high arcing shot, no good from Jason Terry, but Vince Carter says, I got your back. Carter, season high 23, also coming off the pine. Here's Dirk from King. The hoop and the foul. 102-94 after the free throw. More from Dirk. Another layup. Dirk had it going. 21 points in the quarter, 35 for the game. Dallas wins it 117-110. Seventh consecutive win for the Mavs over the Rockets.
All right, guys. Well, unfortunately for the Houston Rockets and for Houston Rockets fans, this is a story and a video and something we've seen time and time again with this team collapsing, and it's very unfortunate. We've also seen it with Dallas. Dallas is hot at the right time. The defending champs are on a roll when they need to be, and the Rockets are collapsing in a strike-shortened season. It's tough. Go ahead and read a quote from Chandler Parsons. He says, quote, it's tough now, admitted Chandler Parsons after the game. We basically have to win out. We do have to win out. We were to the point where we didn't have to worry about other teams and scores, but now it's to the point where we're going to need some help. We've got to handle our business first, though. Go ahead and give you guys the latest standings in the NBA. Once again, each conference and each division, the top three teams, I'm going to go ahead and also tell you where they are as far as the playoffs are concerned. So some of these teams, we might not even be reading the top three teams in the division. Starting in the Eastern Conference, in the Atlantic Division, we've got Boston at number 4, New York sitting at 7, Philadelphia currently sitting at 8. In the Central, we've got Chicago secure at number 1. We've got Indiana, who's also in, at 3. And Detroit and Cleveland are both out. Milwaukee's on the outside looking in at 29-31. In the Southeast, we've got Miami at number 2 at 43-17. Atlanta at number 5 and secure at 36-25. Orlando at number 6 and secure at 36-25. In the Western Conference in the Northwest, we've got Oklahoma City at number 2 and secure with a 44-17 record. Denver at number 6 with a 34-27 record. Utah on the outside looking in at this point at 32-30. In the Pacific, we've got the LA Lakers secure at a number 3 at 39-23. The LA Clippers secure at number 4 at 38-23. Phoenix right now sitting at number 8 at 32-29. In the Southwest, we've got San Antonio secure with the number 1 seed at 44-16. Memphis currently sitting at number 5 at 36-25. Dallas currently sitting at number 7 with a 34-28 record. And the Houston Rockets currently sitting on the outside looking in at 32-29. All right, guys, that will wrap up the stories for episode 19 of Sports World Report. Again, have a great, happy Dia de Loso. As far as tonight's games are concerned, we've got the Houston Rockets at New Orleans at 7 p.m. Central Time on KTXH in Houston. We've got the Houston Astros versus the L.A. Dodgers tonight at 7.05 p.m. Central Time on FSN Houston. For a list of this week's sports schedule, definitely go check the official Sports World Report website at sportsworldreport.wordpress.com. All right, guys, have a great Day of the Bear, and that will wrap up episode 19 of Sports World Report. Again, I'm your host, Denton Ramsey, and I look forward to talking to you guys again next week.